kena temenan dasya, zana sulakaya, caksu sumilat sandina, tadsmaya sri gurave nama, sri chaitanya manavishtam, stapitam dena bhutale, sayam bhagatamayam dadati sapandantika. Vandita kalpa jubhischa, kripa sindhu vaya vata, patitanam pavanego, paishavebhyo namo namah. Well, this chapter actually began in the previous chapter, the 23rd chapter, the Wives of the Brahmins Blessed by Krishna. But it began in the previous chapter, at the end of the chapter where Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis. Because at the end of that chapter, the cowherd boys and Krishna were wandering. And the boys... Well, Krishna was glorifying the trees because of their munificence, their benevolence of character, their giving, the givingness. And in an indirect way, Krishna, as the Acharyas explain, was criticizing the Brahmins who were not going to give. But those Brahmins, as we'll hear today, Krishna willing, will have a change of heart due to the association of their wives. But that's jumping a little ahead. Krishna glorified the trees, and then the cowherd boys expressed how hungry they were. And they were saying this because they feared that Krishna was hungry. So Krishna told them to go beg in a nearby village. And there's a sacrifice being performed, and it was the proper time that they could receive some food in charity to give to Krishna and Balaram and themselves. So the boys went, and they approached the Brahmins and told them that Krishna and Balaram were nearby and they were hungry, and the Brahmins didn't reply at all. They didn't say yes, they didn't say no. The boys were very discouraged. Krishna preached to them when they went back. He said, this is the nature of begging. Sometimes you get what you want, sometimes you refuse. But now you should go to the wives of the Brahmins. Krishna wanted to show a contrast between the consciousness or the mood of those who have bhakti, and those who are performing the subsidiary activities, Vedic activities, even if they're Vedic. Someone should answer the phone. It's going to go on for 100 years. It's a devotee calling. No one but a devotee would be know that I have to keep it ringing forever before they answer it. Someone who's experienced. But if I do it long enough, someone's there, I know it. Even maybe it'll be going to Tayo who have to answer the phone, but someone will do it. So the boys went to the wives of the Brahmins, and they didn't even say that Krishna and Balaram are hungry. All they said was Krishna and Balaram are nearby. And just by hearing the name of Krishna, because that was what Krishna said to say, just by hearing the name of Krishna, the wives of the Brahmins became stunned in ecstasy. But they, different from their husbands who didn't reply, these wives of the Brahmins, in their ecstasy, they immediately, they didn't like the ecstasy because it was hindering their service to Krishna. What exalted consciousness! There was not a tinge of selfishness within them. Even their ecstasy, their own bliss, they found that completely secondary to serving. Kapila Muni also explains this, that the devotees, they won't even accept liberation in exchange for service. Service, seva, is the most important thing for a devotee, because this is the way that they, because that is the nature of love. The nature of love is wanting to please another. So the perfected love is extreme in this, with a non-caring for their own satisfaction, and just to such an intense desire to please Krishna. So the wives of the Brahmins, finally, to get them out of their ecstasy, the cowherd boys said, Krishna and Balaram are hungry. And they immediately began gathering all the food, and they followed the boys to where Krishna and Balaram were. And they saw Krishna and Balaram, and they were practically again stunned to see the beauty of Krishna. Beautiful, beautiful description of Krishna dressed like a dancing actor upon a stage, with colored cloth and a peacock feather atop his head, with his lotus eyes coming to the end of his almost to his ears, and different colored cloths, yellow dhoti that was as brilliant as lightning, and decorated with different tilak markings from the colored minerals of Vrindavan, and extremely beautiful, and his hair coming down upon his forehead, and his covering his cheeks, black as curling hair, so beautiful. And the cow and the Brahmanis, they were stunned, and Krishna, through their eyes, through seeing Krishna, entered their hearts. So at that point, Krishna, and he was twirling a lotus in his hand, and with his other hand it was resting upon the shoulder of one of the cowherd boys. And that way he was twirling their hearts. And because of the love of these Brahmanis, his own heart was twirling. This is Krishna. So then Krishna said to them, thank you for coming. What? What have you come here for? What can I do for you? It's very nice that you've come, because I'm the super soul, practically speaking, and I'm the most dear to all souls. I'm just as the body becomes dear to someone, and the things connected with the body become dear. He started preaching philosophy to them. That just as the body becomes dear due to the presence of the soul, so similarly I am the soul of souls, and therefore I am the most dear to everyone, so it's appropriate that you've come here. Now you can go home and help your husbands complete the sacrifice. Thank you. And the wives of the Brahmins, because Krishna spoke in a similar way to the gopis when they went and visited him at the Rasa dance, so he will speak that a little bit later in the Bhagavatam. But they said, Oh, Almighty One, don't speak in this cruel way. In the Bhagavad Gita even you say, yayetam mam prapadyante, you reciprocate with everyone according to how they, according to their desires and the sincerity of their loving service to you. Everyone you reciprocate with in that way. And we've come to you. We've given up everything. How can you kick us away from your lotus feet like this? And not only that, our relatives, we've left them. They won't even take us back. They will criticize us because everyone knows who you are and that you steal hearts in Vrindavan. And we've gone to you. Well, everyone will give us trouble. So now we're up to where Krishna is going to reply to their words. He says, first he says, Patayo nabhyas suyeran pitrim vratrim sitadaya lokas ca vo mayopita deva ap anumanvate. Rest assured, he assures them that your husbands will not be inimical toward you, nor your fathers, brothers, sons, other relatives, or the general populace. I will personally advise them of the situation because Krishna Ishvara Savabhutanam Vidishay Arjunatishtati Savasya Jaham Vidishana Visto Mata Smitam Jnanam. He gives Jnanam, he is in everyone's heart. So Krishna just explained his relationship with every living entity because he is within everyone's heart. Upadrashtana mantacha bhakta bhakta maheshwara. He is in everyone's heart. So he would advise them of the situation that it's not at all inappropriate that a soul goes to Krishna and develops a loving relationship with him. Indeed, Krishna continues, even the demigods will express their approval because the Brahmins, they were performing a sacrifice, the Angiras sacrifice. And in that, it is, of course, Vishnu, Jagyavaya Vishnu, he's the ultimate one who is the beneficiary of all sacrifices. But yet the demigods, they were worshipping the devas, the demigods. So Krishna is saying even the demigods will give their approval for this. So we'll read the comment of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So there's three verses that Krishna replies. That's the first one, 31. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Since you have pure love for me, and are dedicated to my happiness, you should not do something which is against my intentions. Do not be stubborn like this, but return home. The wives reply, O topmost of learned personalities, being women from aristocratic families, even the sun does not shine down upon us or touch us. We have disobeyed our husbands, neglecting them as insignificant as blades of grass, and we've come a long way from our village to be near you, who are famous throughout Braja for stealing the hearts of everyone. If we try to return home, our husbands and others won't allow us to enter the village, and out of anger, they will surely kill us. They're pleading with Krishna. Anticipating this, Krishna answers the Brahmins' wives in this verse. There is no use in unfounded fears. Your husbands will not find fault with you, what to speak of others, such as your mothers and fathers. Why? Even if you were to intimately associate with me, which you have not done, they will not find fault because they know that I am the Supreme Lord of everyone. Your husbands, seeing the demigods at their sacrifice, will ask them about this matter, and they too will give their approval. The demigods are all learned men and are in agreement, and all learned men of the past are in agreement that I am the Supreme Lord of all living entities, rather than it being inappropriate to associate with Krishna and to develop a loving relationship with Krishna. Vedeshya Savaram
Vidyo.
To know Krishna is actually the purpose of the Vedas. And this is the conclusion, the siddhanta of all learned men and the demigods too. The demigods actually, they speak like this in their prayers to Krishna. So in the Garbha Stuti, in the beginning of the 10th canto, 32, the next verse. So they said, you can go home. No one will express, you won't be rejected. For you to remain in my bodily association, or near me physically, would certainly not please people in this world, nor would it be the best way for you to increase your love for me. Rather, you should fix your minds on me, and very soon you will achieve me. Purport. The Lord pointed out that people in general would not appreciate a loving affair between Lord Krishna, who superficially is appearing as a cowherd boy, and the wives from the Brahmana community. Also, the Brahmana ladies' own devotion and love would increase most efficiently in separation. In other words, it would be best all around if they continued to fix their minds on Krishna and thus went on with the process they've been practicing throughout their lives, because they had heard about Krishna from the other wandering residents of Vrindavan. And just by thinking about Krishna, they had purified their hearts and had developed such love for him. So the Lord and his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, expertly engaged the Lord's devotees in different types of service so that all of them can quickly return to his lotus feet. Comment of Sridhar Swami, and then we'll read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment on this verse. Swami's is quite similar. We'll just read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Krishna tells them to go home and associate with me through remembering me. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur replies, the Brahmin's wives say, then will our desire ever be fulfilled or not? We want to be with you. Krishna said, since you are asking this with your tearful, sidelong glances, I will reply thus. The people in this world will not appreciate if you stay with me. It is also not the best way to increase your love for me. Longing and separation will create more intense attraction to me. Therefore, absorb your minds in me and you will attain me very soon. Very important instructions that we tend to always want to make external changes. Not that external changes can't help the internal, but the internal is the most important thing. So rather than always thinking, oh, it will be better there and I'll make more advancement here, or this will be better for me, or that will be better for me. Externally, this internal process of thinking about Krishna, remembering him, is the process that Krishna himself has recommended. And remembering Krishna in separation. We were reading this on Sunday, in the Krishna book reading, Prabhupada was explaining how this was the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How powerful separation is, varaha bhav, to be missing Krishna. To be missing Krishna. To be missing that shelter. But of course one has to have a relationship with Krishna to miss him, to have any kind of separation. But yet, this is the This is the process that's being recommended, and Krishna is telling them this. Absorb your minds in me, and you will attain me very soon. Manmanam bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evyasiti satyam te pratijane priyosne. I promise you this, truly I promise you this, because you are so dear to me, Krishna tells Arjuna. Manmana bhava madbhakto. You just become, focus your mind upon me, become absorbed in me, and become my devotee. And you will come to me, mam evyasyati. You will come to me, satyam, it is true. Because yam yam vapismaram bhavam. And it's true even in practical life. Just like this, if someone is, if you go on the, on a bus or an elevator especially, and there's lots of people on an elevator, it's such a peculiar situation, a lift, everyone's on the lift, because suddenly all these people who don't know each other are crowded into a circumstance, and everyone just stares usually at how many more floors there are before I can get off. No one wants to be there. Practically no one is there. Even though they're physically there, they're mentally not there because they don't want to be there. Or on a bus or a train or something. You just look, people's minds are completely away. Because it's where one's consciousness is. That's the important thing. So a devotee, manmana, Krishna defines what a devotee is practically. He places his consciousness upon Krishna, bhava madbhakto, in a devotional way, as a devotee. And therefore, he will be with Krishna, because he's sacrificing everything for Krishna, mam namaskuru, offering obeisances to Krishna. If we will come to Krishna. So this is actually very wonderful instructions. And then Krishna continues with these very practical instructions. It is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me, and chanting my names and glories that love for me develops, not by physical proximity. Prabhupada used to say this all the time, by Vani Seva, by following the instructions. Therefore, please go back to your homes. This is the last advice, philosophical advice they wanted to hear, practically speaking. Now, Sukadev Goswami said, so what did they do? Thus instructed, the wives of the Brahmanas returned to the place of sacrifice. The Brahmins did not find any fault with their wives, and together with them, they finished the sacrifice. So they left. Purport. The wives of the Brahmins obeyed Lord Krishna's order and returned to the sacrificial arena of their husbands, whereas the gopis, although ordered by Krishna to go home, remained in the forest to dance with him through the full moon night. Both the gopis and the Brahmins' wives achieved pure love of Godhead. So sometimes we can say that the gopis' love was more powerful, because they could not even follow Krishna's order to leave. And there's some incredible comments when Krishna says that to the gopis. There's very incredible comments by the acharyas as to their replies, how they couldn't leave because he had taken their full chitta, their consciousness. And then they say, even if we go, what can we do there? There's nothing. We've given everything to you. But here, and this is very much the comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur too, the point is that they followed, they left, and they achieved pure love of Krishna by following what Krishna said, and the gopis also, by not doing what Krishna said, by expressing their love in a different way, they were also on this highest platform. So the gopis and the Brahmin's wives achieve pure love for Krishna. Now here's, and then one of the ladies, this is text 35, one of the wives of the Brahmins had been forcibly kept back from going to see Krishna by her husband. When she heard the others describe the Supreme Lord Krishna, she embraced him within her heart and gave up her material body, the basis of bondage, to material activity. So just by hearing about Krishna, she completely gave up her material body. We think of our bodies as the greatest, as the great, most wonderful thing, and everyone tends to be very proud, although we see people with more perfect bodies, and we can become envious and say, I wish I had that, or something. But people are very proud of their body. They're proud of their birth. Janma, Aishwarya, Shitashibir. Very proud. And everyone thinks their country is the best, and everyone thinks the way of cooking in their part of the country is the best. It's just the nature of having a material body. But this particular gopi, who couldn't go and see Krishna, she gave up that body. Just by hearing about Krishna, her attraction was so strong, and the body seemed like such an impediment. So she relinquished it with no attachment. She was so deep in her spiritual relationship with Krishna. We'll read the comments of the Acharyas to this 35th text. Her body, she gave up the body. Her body means, this is Sridhar Swami's comment, the body that belonged to her husband, she gave that up on the spot, immediately. And because she was fully meditating in great ecstatic love on Krishna, she achieved the Supreme Lord with her transcendental body. She didn't lose, actually. She gained fully. Srila Jiva Goswami has a short comment. In this manner, yatasrutam means, as she heard about him, about Krishna, from the others, in this manner, by hearing about Krishna, she achieved him just by hearing about him. So Krishna was not just telling the Brahmanis, oh, just go away, and making some philosophical excuse so that they would leave. No, this is really the process. You hear about Krishna. Shuddha chitte koribe udoy. And love for Krishna arises by that. Shravanadi, by hearing about Krishna in the right association. Otherwise, we hear about so many other things all day long. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Did you hear about that? And this happened and that happened. But without hearing about Krishna, the heart becomes further entangled and more deeply covered. And by hearing about Krishna, the heart is cleansed. Shrenvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtanam rityantisto. If we're eager to hear, vidantisto within the heart, yabhadrani, all the auspiciousness is removed. Vidyanoti suritsatam, surit, within the heart, Krishna will remove the inauspiciousness, all the abhadrani. And if we don't hear about Krishna, we'll get entangled. If we hear about Krishna, again and again and again, all auspiciousness will come. So this is the center of the process, hearing about Krishna. So it is not, he just told them not to go away. But this gopi, just by hearing from those who had just seen Krishna, she achieved Krishna. By that process, she achieved him, Jiva Goswami says, she went to the uppercut, the unmanifested Leela of Krishna, where Krishna, the eternal realm, she went there. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also comments. The lady restrained by her husband was especially devoted to Krishna. She gave up her material body, but she did not give up her spiritual body, which was filled with prema, with great love, due to her intense love and separation from Krishna. This is the process. That spiritual body was kept hidden by the Supreme Lord, who manifested himself to her. In that body, which was purely spiritual and invisible to all, she quickly left that place and she went to Krishna. After having given up one's husband and other objects of attachment, is it surprising that someone also gives up the body to meet Krishna? So everything in this world, especially the body, we are attached to. But it's not possible to keep in the association of these things, especially the body, because we will have to leave it. We may be attached to it. We may be attached to it. We are attached to it, but it's irrelevant. The time will come when we have to give up everything in this world and move on. The Bhagavad, of course, the practical experience teaches this. The Bhagavad Gita teaches this. Common sense teaches us this. The Bhagavatam, in such graphic ways, teaches us that we, in the third canto, the story of the fruit of activities, in Kapila Muni's teachings, the fourth canto, Paranjana, very, very, very heavy. Jat Bharat tells this to King Rahugana. Very, very heavy and graphic descriptions of this fact that appears cruel on the surface, that everyone dies, the body dies. What does death mean? It means the breaking of the identification with the material body. And birth means the accepting a new material body to identify with. So it actually makes no sense to deeply identify with the material body because it's temporary. It's temporary. And when we're separated from something, the wise person does not identify, doesn't try to get pleasure with things that have a beginning and an end, because his relationship with them will be broken. Rather, if we keep our jivera sarupoi krishna nityadas, if we keep develop that eternal identity, we live in the material world, we'd be practical, but if we identify with it, it will cause suffering. Dukkha yona evate. So we want to strongly develop our eternal identification and uncover our actual identity with Krishna. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura is explaining this. So after having given up one's husband and other objects of attachment, is it surprising that someone also gives up the material body to meet Krishna? To show the power of Krishna prema, Krishna's kripa shakti, his mercy potency, made that one lady, at the time when all the wives went to meet Krishna, give up the material body, which is the cause of one's bondage to material activities. And that kripa shakti, his mercy, to show the power of Krishna prema, it arranged for her to receive her spiritual body, which is in connection, which is one's connection with pure love of God, premanabandha. Like a touchstone, she, Kripa Shakti, Krishna's mercy, transformed the other wives' material bodies into pure spiritual bodies as well. Thus, from that day forward, the Brahmin ladies had no more contact with their husbands. In this way, what is impossible for the Kripa Shakti of Krishna? One cannot say whether one Brahmin lady was superior in her bhakti to the others or not, since there is no indication given in scripture. But in any case, all of them became perfect by the mercy of Krishna, as described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Kripa Siddha Jagapatni Virodchani Sukadaya. Those who became perfect by receiving the Lord's mercy, such as the wives of the Brahmins, the son of Virodchana, Bali Maharaj, and Sukadev Goswami. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has taken some point from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion by Srila Rupa Goswami, and showed how they actually achieved perfection by Krishna's mercy, and he's explained it in more detail. 36. So the wives of the Brahmins had brought so much food. Then they went back, and one of them left her material body and attained a spiritual body and had the association of Krishna. Then what happened to the food that the coward boys who had come back with the girls, what happened to that? Text 36 describes Govinda, the supreme Bhagavan api Govindas tenai vineva gopakan chator viden asayitva swayam cha bubuje prabhu. Govinda, the supreme personality of Godhead, fed the cowherd boys with that food of four varieties. Then the all-powerful Lord himself partook of the preparations. Interesting comment by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's 36. In the phrase Bhagavan Api Govindas, in the phrase Bhagavan Api, by the word Api, we can explain that she gave up her body and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda in order to give her pleasure. All of her senses was invisibly obtained by her at that time. And thus it is concluded that by the word Eva is indicated, there's a different, Tenaiva, with that, Eva, very same, Anena, food, Gopikan, the cowherd boys, Chatur Vijayana, the four varieties of food, Ashayitwa, he fed them, and then Swayam Cha Bubu Jay Prabhu, the Almighty Lord, then he took after feeding the cowherd boys. And thus it is concluded that by the word Eva, it is indicated that the food was insufficient for the cowherd boys. By the word Prabhu, it means that nevertheless, he caused all of their bellies to become completely filled, even though there wasn't enough food. In the word Gopikan, the suffix ka expresses compassion. And by the word cha, we can deduce that even though not desiring to eat, Krishna, Govinda, he ate. Now why didn't Krishna desire to eat? The coward boys thought that Krishna was hungry. And therefore, this whole lila unfolded because of their desire to feed Krishna, but Krishna actually wasn't hungry. Why? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, his lack of desire is because of his pain of remorse due to the non-fulfillment of the desire of the ladies who had pure love for him. And that, having sent them back, was his own fault, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. So this is so amazing, actually. The Supreme Lord, he did something. He explained it very philosophically. You will attain great love for me. And it was true. And by his Kripa Shakti, and by the mercy of those, that one lady, all the rest who attained by Krishna's Kripa Shakti, attained the spiritual body, they all had spiritual bodies, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained, and none of them they had any association with their husbands after that. So there was certainly no fault, but yet Krishna had no appetite because they desired something and they loved him. And he had no appetite because he by his own desire, even though it was a right desire. He did not want to cause social disturbance. He sent them back, but yet because they desired to be with him and he did not fulfill their desire, he felt remorse and grief. This God, this Krishna, is the most wonderful God. He is not mechanical. He's a loving, all love. And he's bhaktivatsalya, atma prajanta vidanyata. It reminds me of one time I had the fortune of being with Prabhupada in Japan. And suddenly Prabhupada rang his bell, and I was with His Holiness Trivikram Swami, and we went in to see Prabhupada. And Trivikram Swami had just gotten a letter from his brother, and in that letter was a Bible tract. I was preaching, and the Bible tract said, a Hindu PhD, he said, even though many Westerners and Christians are turning to Hinduism, meaning Hare Krishna, here is an intelligent Hindu PhD who has turned and converted into being a Christian. And in the Bible tract, it said how, you know, he was criticizing the Hindu culture for their caste system and their worshipping of idols, deities. And then Prabhupada looked and he said, even though he's a PhD, he doesn't know anything. And then he actually had called us in for a specific reason. He had gotten a letter from and some pictures of Shishi Rukmini Dorkatish in Los Angeles, the deities in Los Angeles. So he wanted to share these beautiful deities, the photos of the beautiful deities with us. So, and he showed them to us, and they looked so beautiful. And he said, our God is the nicest God. Of course, he was joking, because it's not that you have your God and this one has their God, and there's competition amongst the different gods as who is the nicest, and they're fighting. No, there's one God. Ekala Ishwara Krishna Sabha Bhritya. There's one God. But this manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his personality, not just the controller of the material world, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is so wonderful, so beautiful, so sweet, so full of personality, so affectionate. Atma prajanta vidanyata, so affectionate to his devotees, to those who love Krishna. So we see that. But yet, even though he wasn't so hungry, he ate because all the cowherd boys were eating. Thus, this is text 37, thus the Supreme Lord, appearing like a human being, evam lila naravapu, his naralila, appearing like a human being to perform his pastimes, he imitated the ways of human society. He enjoyed pleasing his cows, cowherd boyfriends, and cowherd girlfriends with his beauty, his words and his actions. Now, there's another section in this chapter, and then it will be complete. And this section is what happens from here to the end, 38 till 52, the last verse. What happened to the husbands? They lost everything. They were performing the sacrifice. They didn't have an opportunity to serve Krishna. Their wives went. Their wives rejected them. No more contact with them. What happened to them? So here, we'll see that something wonderful happens with them. The Brahmins came to their senses and they began to feel great remorse. They thought, we have sinned. if we have denied the request of the two lords of the universe who deceptively appeared as ordinary human beings. Purport. Lord Krishna, Lord Balaram did not try to deceive the Brahmins. They straightforwardly requested food from them. Rather, the Brahmins deceived themselves, as indicated by the Sanskrit word nri vidambayo, which means that Krishna and Balaram are bewildering for an ordinary human being who considers them also to be humans. Still, because the wives of the Brahmins were great devotees of the Lord, the foolish Brahmins received spiritual benefit and finally came to their senses. We'll read the comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to 38. The Brahmins remembered Krishna constantly and became repentant due to the auspicious presence of their wives. This verse speaks of their repentance. We are offenders. We have ignored the request of the Lord of the universe. What type of Lord was he? We were deceived by Krishna and Balaram, who requested food from us. The other acharyas explain how they deceived themselves because they thought of Krishna as humans. Because anyway, we'll explain in a little more detail what is the confusing point for them. 39. How did the deception take place? Taking note of their wives' pure transcendental devotion for Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and seeing their own lack of devotion, the Brahmins felt most sorrowful and began to condemn themselves. So in good association, seeing our own condition, they were in good association with their wives, who were great devotees, and seeing their own lack of devotion, they didn't just sit back and say, anyway, never mind. No, they were lamenting. They were lamenting and regretting their hard-heartedness, their lack of understanding what the purpose of life is. So many things. Their attachments on the material level. So they say, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments here. Simple comment. Though the women were their wives, the Brahmins now regarded them as their gurus, and they criticized themselves for their own lack of devotion. The Krishna bhakti, pure devotion to Krishna of their wives, was impossible to see in ordinary society. It was alaukika. The Brahmins said, this is their criticisms of themselves, text 40. To hell with our threefold births. Birth, physical birth, birth by diksha initiation, and having been initiated into the performance of the sacrifice, three births. To hell with our vow of celibacy. To hell with our extensive learning. What is the use of it? To hell with our aristocratic background and our expertise in the rituals of sacrifice. These are all condemned because we were inimical to the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is because the purpose of all activities in the Vedas or any religious activity is to gain service to Krishna, devotional service. So if one performs the externals of the activities but doesn't get the great jewel or the gold, it is compared to like beating the husks of rice after the rice has been removed, after the grains have been removed. All you get is your labor. You don't get any the proper result. So they're criticizing themselves very, very deeply for that. So they didn't get the purpose of what they were doing. They had so many good qualities, opportunities. But the result they didn't get. 41. The illusory potency of the Supreme Lord certainly bewilders even the great mystics, what to speak of us. As Brahmins, we were supposed to be the spiritual masters of all classes of men. Yet we have been bewildered about our real interests. We do not know what is to be gained. In fact, we did not know, and we were mistaken, and we have committed offenses, and we have done the wrong thing. We have bewildered due to Maya. And there's no... It's typical. Even the greatest mystics, what to speak of us, are bewildered by Maya. But this type of lamentation is very healthy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his comment of 41, the Brahmin said, if the yogis who practice Astanga Yoga also become bewildered, what can be said of us who are involved in so much karma? Although we are the spiritual masters of others, Maya has bewildered us about the real goal of our lives. 42. Just see the unlimited love these women have developed for Lord Krishna, who is the spiritual master of the entire universe, Jagat Guru. Api Krishne Jagat Guru. This love has broken for them the very bonds of death, their attachment to family life. Purport. Superficially, the husband, fathers, fathers-in-laws, and so on were the ladies' gurus or teachers. Yet the women had become perfect in Krishna consciousness, whereas the men had fallen into the darkness of ignorance, of attachment. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, upon returning home, the ladies showed transcendental ecstatic symptoms, such as trembling of the body, shedding of tears, standing of the bodily hairs on end, discoloration of the complexion, and they were crying out, O pleasure of my life, O Krishna, with faltering voices and so on. So they were ecstatic, so the Brahmins could understand their position of their wives, that they had achieved the goal, they had achieved perfection. They loved Krishna, prema pramato mahan. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes on to state that while one may object that it is not fitting for a woman to love anyone other than her husband, here the husbands themselves point out that they are gurus only in imitation of the Supreme Lord, who is Jagat Guru, the universal teacher and spiritual master. The husbands noted that the women, having perfected their transcendental attachment for Krishna, did not have even a trace of attachment left for home, husband, children, and so forth. It is not that they had to practice renunciation. It is not that they had to struggle against their attachments. They loved Krishna. It was not artificial. They loved Krishna, and therefore they saw everything in the proper perspective. They saw the temporalness, the temporariness of the material attachments, and they saw their eternal relationship with Krishna. So therefore they were detached, naturally. Therefore, from that day on, the husbands accepted those ladies as their worshipable spiritual masters and no longer thought of them as their wives or their property. The next two verses, 43 to 30, 44 together. These women, they said, have never undergone the purificatory rites of the twice-born, nor have they lived as brahmacharis in the ashram of a spiritual master, nor have they executed austerities, speculated on the nature of the self, followed the formalities of cleanliness, or engaged in pious rituals. Nevertheless, they have firm devotion for Lord Krishna, whose glories are chanted by the exalted hymns of the Vedas, and who is the supreme master of all masters of mystic power. We, on the other hand, have no such devotion for the Lord, although we have executed all these processes. So we have done so much, but we've missed Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. What's the beginning of that verse? No, wrong one. Vasudeva. Bhakti of you. No? Gyanai Dasi Vairagyam Kela Chami. What's the beginning of that verse? Huh? Go look. Third chapter. Go look. Just useless labor if we don't get what is supposed to be gotten as the purpose of our life and all the different religious things we do in our life. If we gain the goal and don't perform the processes, we've gained everything. And if we don't gain the goal and we perform religious process, we haven't gained it. So Prabhupada used to say the test of a religion is whether or not it develops love for Krishna. It's a paraphrasing of this verse. What's the beginning? Dharma svanustita pungsan visrakseni katasiyad notpariyad yadiradin shrama evahi. Shrama means useless labor. He came kevalam only. So this is what they're saying. And how did they get it? How did the wives of the Brahmins get it? Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the husbands were not aware that their wives had occasionally associated with residents of Vrindavan because they were living on the border of Vrindavan and Mathura, such as the flower ladies, and had heard about the beauty and qualities of Krishna. The Brahmins were astonished at their wives' loving devotion for Lord Krishna, not realizing that this devotion had developed as a result of hearing and chanting about the Lord in the association of his pure devotees. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. The Brahmins said, "We cannot understand how our wives had developed such extraordinary love for Krishna." This is the intention of this verse. The Brahmins continued, they did not perform Upanaya Samskar, no thread, live as brahmacharis in the guru's ashram, perform austerities, meditate on the soul, execute auspicious rites. The cause of their love is none other than Krishna, the supreme master of all mystic powers. The cause of the wives' loving devotion to Krishna was hearing about the form, qualities, and activities of Krishna from the flower ladies and other women of Braja. But the Brahmins did not mention this because they were unaware of this. This is Sukadeva Goswami's intention here. 45. Indeed, the Brahmins continue, infatuated as we are with our household affairs, we have deviated completely from the real aim of our life. But now, just see how the Lord, through the words of these simple coward boys, has reminded us of the ultimate destination of all true transcendentalists. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, short comment. What mercy the Lord shows, and what selfishness we have. That is what the Brahmins express in this verse. So this is something that we can think of. 46. Otherwise, why would the Supreme Controller, whose every desire is already fulfilled, and who is the Master of Liberation, and the Master of all other transcendental benedictions, why would he enact this pretense with us, who are always to be controlled by him? So this is what they were saying, how Krishna tricked them. It was a pretense. What was the pretense? He came and begged. He is the Supreme Controller. He has no desires. All his desires are fulfilled. He is Sarva Shaktiman. He's Satya Sankalpa. He has Icha Shakti. Purport. Although Lord Krishna is the absolute truth, he humbly sent his coward boyfriends to beg food from the Brahmins. In so doing, he exposed the Brahmins' foolish arrogance and established the glories of his own transcendental beauty by attracting the very wives to surrender to his lotus feet.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in 46. The Brahmins ask, as Krishna is self-satisfied and has attained fulfillment in every possible desire, what does he need from us? It cannot be anything else but an expression of his causeless mercy that he had come to beg from us. By sending his friends to humbly beg food from us, he exposed our foolish arrogance. So Krishna actually does that all day long of every day with us. He exposes our foolishness and our pride. But we, unlike the Brahmins, tend not to see it. We tend to blame everyone else, anything but see our own silliness, our foolishness, our pride, our own smallness. Because when we understand that, the tendency will always be to surrender to Krishna, hoping for the touch of his lotus feet. The goddess of fortune perpetually worships him alone, leaving aside all others and renouncing her pride and fickleness. That he begs is certainly astonishing to everyone. These are the incredible pastimes of the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sam Brahma Savior Mano, he's served by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis. Look what he's doing. He's begging food. He's sending the boys to beg food. He can produce universes with Mama Angso Tejo Sambhava, with a small portion of his potency. But yet he's having the boys beg food. So the Brahmins now have realized how amazing this pastime was of Krishna's, and has shown their hard-heartedness. And they're not understanding the purpose of what they were doing, of their lives, and their pride and their arrogance. But now they've come to realize it. The pastime has shown them, Krishna's begging, and their association of their wives has shown them that the actual goal is to love Krishna. So that he begs is certainly astonishing to everyone. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Someone may reply to the Brahmins, Krishna begged rice because he's hungry, not to show mercy. And you should not say that he's self-satisfied because he performs activities like herding cows. That's done for some purpose. This verse refutes this type of an argument, because the Brahmins say, the goddess of wealth, Lakshmi Devi, gives up her natural tendency of chanchal, of fickleness, swa atma dosha appavagina, to constantly worship Krishna. Yet that supreme master of the goddess of wealth still begs for food. People like us are certainly bewildered by such actions. It's not that Krishna bewilders them in one sense. It's that we bewilder ourselves due to our lack of surrender and lack of love for Krishna. So therefore, people like us are certainly bewildered by such actions by Krishna, and we cannot believe, therefore, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. We don't have tattva vibhrama. We don't have transcendental knowledge, because we don't hear properly, sufficiently. 48-49. So there, and the purport here says that that the Brahmins are beginning now finally to manifest their transcendental and true intelligence. 48-49. All the aspects of sacrifice, the auspicious time and place, the various forms of paraphernalia, the Vedic hymns, the prescribed rituals, the priests and sacrificial fires, the demigods, the patrons of the sacrifice, the sacrificial offering and the pious results obtained, all are simply manifestations of his opulence, Krishna's opulence. Yet, even though that we had heard the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, the Lord of all mystic controllers, had taken birth in the Yadav dynasty, we were so foolish that we could not recognize Sri Krishna to be none other than him. Verse 50. Let us offer our obeisances unto Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His intelligence is never bewildered, whereas we, confused by his power of illusion, are simply wandering about on the paths of fruitive work. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that out of shame, they were feeling shame, and therefore they offered their obeisances to Krishna. We were bewildered, they continue, by the Lord's illusory potency, and thus we could not understand his influence as the original personality of Godhead. Now we hope he will kindly forgive our offense. So they felt very fallen, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, and they begged Krishna for forgiveness. And then the final verse in the chapter. Thus reflecting on the sin they had committed by neglecting Lord Krishna, they became very eager to see him. But being afraid of King Kamsa, they did not dare go to Braja. Krishna was nearby, and they did not go to see him because they were afraid of Kamsa, even though they were eager to see him and they were aware of how sinful and foolish they had been. They still did not go to see him because of Kamsa. We'll read the purport here and then the comment by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or part of it. Realizing their offense against Lord Krishna and finally appreciating his almighty position, the Brahmins naturally wanted to rush to Braja and surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord. But they were afraid that Kamsa would certainly kill them when his spies reported that they had gone to Krishna. The Brahmins' wives were absorbed in ecstatic Krishna consciousness and then thus went to Krishna anyway. Just as the Gopis, simply to dance with the Lord, traveled in the dead of night through a forest inhabited by wild animals. But the Brahmins were not on such an advanced platform of Krishna consciousness, and thus overcome by fear of Kamsa, they could not see the Lord face to face. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. After realizing their offense against Krishna, what was their offense? Refute his request. And finally appreciating his almighty position, why did the Brahmins not rush to Braja and surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord? This verse answers, at that moment the Brahmins were bewildered by grief and guilt and were not in agreement as to the proper course of action. Thus they did not go to the Ashok Grove to meet Sri Krishna. He was nearby. And even by the end of the day, although they were all in agreement, they still did not go to Braja. They were just, so at the beginning, they were saying, we should, we shouldn't, we should, we shouldn't. But by the end of the day, they were in agreement, but they still did not go. The word cha indicates they tried to move, but they could not. Suddenly, they decided to go, but they could not. Suddenly, all at the same time, they felt the presence of Kamsa. Fear entered their heart. The Brahmins were afraid that Kamsa would certainly kill them if his spies reported that they had gone to Krishna. And the rest is the same, included from there. So there must be some mercy and desire of Krishna in that. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will explain how Krishna made up for that. He'll explain that in the next chapter, which is about beginning the worship of Giriraj Govardhan. Thank you very much. You wanted to ask something?
Isn't it the Krishna book or somewhere else that describes that the reason that the Brahmins couldn't go is because they were too attached to fruitive activities?
Possibly. You can look.
They couldn't make the step.
Okay. Thank you very much. Shrima Bhagavatam ki jai, Shrima Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Thank you.